Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Davis. And may I reiterate, Jesus does save. You know, most of us can remember back when we were kind of drifting out on life's pitiless sea, lost without God and without hope. Now, some of us don't like to drift back there, but sometimes it's good to revisit and think about that. And then you know what? You'll appreciate a little bit more about what God's done for you when you think back about what the devil did for you, and he did nothing good for you. Did nothing but mess your life up, give you a bad testimony. And, I tell you, I look back on all those years of being lost, and I thought, boy, you know what? I ain't going back there. Thank God, once you're saved, you're always saved. The devil can't drag you back there. And all of that is nothing more than just a dim memory, is all that is. Thank you, Brother Davis. Take your Bible, Matthew 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Matthew chapter 5, and then 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. All right, let's stand together if you would, please. Matthew chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We're going to begin reading in verse 14 and read verse 14, 15, and 16. So we're going to read it together. Now, if you're new, how we read it together is we'll read together out loud. We'll pause at every punctuation mark until we get to the end. We'll read verses 14, 15, and 16, and then I'll flip over and read a verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Everybody find your place, Matthew chapter 5, and let's begin reading in verse number 14 together. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, does everybody get out of that what I get out of that? Jesus said that we're the light of the world, and since we're the light of the world, we ought not hide it. In other words, we ought not to become invisible to the world. Not just about the gospel of Jesus Christ, but about what Christianity is all about. Now, are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians 15, and look at verse number 34. Here's Paul's instructions to the church at Corinth. He says, awake to righteousness. Sounds like somebody dropped the ball, doesn't it? He said, you need to wake up. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. Now I want you to notice the last statement. He said, I speak this, church, to your shame. He said, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You say, well, preacher, but there's a lot of them that have we've reached, but we hadn't reached them all. And some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this, Paul says, to your shame. And Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. You say, what is he talking about here, preacher? I think the Lord's saying, you know what? We ought not to be an invisible church. And so I want to take these verses, I want to talk to you tonight about the invisible church. What causes a church to become invisible to the lost world and to its own membership, but also what do we do? How do we continue to be a church that is continuing to be a light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, Father, would you meet with us tonight? Thank you for the privilege of reading the Bible. And thank you that we live in a free country where we can stand and preach the Word of God. And Lord, so that the people might be able to grab a hold of the truth and go out and do something about reaching people for Thee. And we'll thank you for your blessings on this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. The word invisible just simply means that which cannot be seen. Or that which is imperceptible to the sight. In other words, people can't see. And so what I want to say to you tonight, dear church, is I don't want Trinity Baptist Church to ever in this city to become invisible to Arlington, Texas. I don't want us to become invisible to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You know, one of the things about Trinity Baptist Church has made it the church that it is over all of its existence is that it was very visible. We are a very visible church. But I want to tell you what makes us visible here in just a moment. But may I say to you that there are people, let me back up and just say this. A church is only as visible as its members are. A church can only be as seen as the members of that church vocalize and are a testimony and a witness for Jesus Christ. You see, it's not that we don't exist. We want to be visible. For instance, there are billions of stars that exist in space that are invisible to the naked eye. Am I okay with that? In other words, you go out tonight on a clear night, you look up, do you understand you can only see the stars that are visible to your eye? But you know there are more stars beyond that, beyond what you can see? You say, well, preacher, if I can't see them, that means they don't exist. No, they're there. It's just that you can't see them. And may I say, the problem today, unfortunately, in America, is there are a lot of churches, but just nobody can see them. They exist, they're there, but nobody can see them. They're not there. They're not projecting out what God created them to be. You see, the church and the message of Jesus Christ is only as visible as its membership. We're the light of the world. And most of the world is living in absolute darkness. That's the reason the Lord said we've got to go shine the light of truth to them. Can I say to you, church, that in a time when God needs the local New Testament church to be visible, the local New Testament church seems to be becoming more invisible to the world? Why? Because you think, well, preacher, you don't understand. Yeah, I understand. I've been saved long enough, I do understand. I understand that, you know what, knocking doors and giving out tracts and talking to people about Jesus Christ may become more and more difficult, but it's still a command of God. We've got to be visible. And when in a day when the church needs to be more visible, it seems to be coming more and more invisible to the world. You say, what causes that, preacher? Well, I think several things do. I think, first of all, the cares of life. I think just the cares of life that people get themselves involved in, debt, all kinds of personal issues, bad decisions, foolish choices, all of these things seem to weigh down on the lives of the people of God. So I think the cares of life. May I say number two, I think the obstacles of life. I think just facing the days and times that we're in, things are going up, pay's not going up to meet it, and things are getting more expensive, gas is getting more expensive. Man, I'm telling you, the gas pumps today look like a ping pong ball, don't they? I mean, they're one price one day, you can go back that afternoon and be a totally different price. You see, the thing about it is, people are having struggles keeping up with the things that are going on. So the cares of life, the obstacles of life. Oh, let me just say this one, how about the pride of life? I said the cares of life, I said the obstacles of life, but I said one of the things also that's causing the local church to become invisible is the pride of life. We're thinking more about us. Now, folks, listen, everybody look up here. I'm not against building buildings, okay? I'm going to talk to you about that in just a second. I'm not against that. I'm not against having air conditioning. Amen. I'm not against all of that kind of stuff. I'm for that kind of stuff. I'm glad we don't have to go back to hard wood pews and only fans. All right? I'm for all of that. I love all of that. But may I say to you, if that's all we're in it for, we're going to become invisible, folks. It's not about us. It's about the commission. It's not about us. It's about glorifying God. You see, the visibility or the lack thereof of the local church, listen to me, is a very good indicator of the health of the membership of that church. Is everybody with me? I said the visibility or the lack thereof is a good indicator of the spiritual health of the membership of that church. And may I say also, it is also a reflection of the spiritual leadership or the lack thereof of the church. Amen? And I'm not talking about just the preacher. I'm talking about everybody that has a place of responsibility, from the pastor to the Sunday school teacher to the bus driver. It's a reflection on all leadership, whether we're visible or invisible. Can I just say, church, that the truth of the matter is just simply this? If Trinity Baptist Church, if we allow these things to become and creep into our church, such as carelessness, wastefulness, laziness, and carnality, if we allow these things to creep in our church, you listen to me, it's just a matter of time until we become invisible to this city. I read an article some time ago, and it was talking about people visiting churches. And that that 80% of the people today in 2011, before they ever come into the door of your church, have already checked your church out online. 80%. And they said, if you do not have a website as a church, that down at the bottom, here's the statement. You are literally invisible to 80% of the people. And I thought to myself, you know what? There's probably a lot of truth to that. You say, preacher, we got a website? Yeah, we do. And we got a college website. And we got a Spanish website. And we're fixing to have something else on our website as well. Why? Why? Because we want to be visible to people. They're going to check you out before they ever come and visit the church. So, listen, wouldn't it be foolish to say, well, I'm not having a website? Then, basically, we're invisible to 80% of the people who are going to come check it out online before they ever visit you. You see, the thing about it is we can either be hard-headed about it, or we can go ahead and use the tools that God has given us at our fingertips to make sure that we can do everything as church as a whole to be as visible as we possibly can be. That's the reason we have a sign out there that says Trinity Baptist Church. Why? So we can be visible so that people know where we are. Why do you think they give these people, you go down the street, so why do you think a house has a house number? Why? So they can be visible, so that they'll know where you are. And so all I'm saying to you, church, is simply this. That if we allow these things to creep into our church, listen to me, we're going to grieve the Spirit of God, and we might as well be called Ichabod Baptist. Amen, preacher. I'll just amen myself, all right? So you said, where are you going with this, preacher? What I'm saying is I don't want to become an invisible church. I don't want to become invisible to the world, and I certainly don't want to become invisible to each other. Remember the story in Matthew 20 that Jesus told about a householder that went out into the marketplace to hire laborers? Remember that? And he went out at the beginning of the day and he hired some laborers for a penny. He said, go into the vineyard. And he went out the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and the 11th hour. And when he went out the 11th hour, that he asked him, he said, why stand ye here idle all the day? And you know what their answer was? Well, nobody hires. They must not have been looking real hard, because the householder came looking for them. And so he hired them for a penny a day, and they went out into the vineyard. Do you know that word in that little passage, that little word idle is used three times? That word idle, you say, what does that mean, preacher? That means the engine's running, but you ain't going nowhere. That's like when you drive up and you're sitting there at the red light, you know what you're doing? You're idling. The engine's running, everything's functioning, but you ain't moving. Now folks, listen, Trinity Baptist Church, we've got a lot of wonderful components that exist in the ministries of this church and in the membership of this church, but some are doing nothing but idling. You're saved, you're born again. You say, well, preacher, I put my tithe in. Glory to God. But hey, folks, let's get moving. We need to get moving on down the road. Because if we don't, we're going to become invisible to our city. You see, in today's world of the hustle and bustle of life, I'll just be honest with you, it's easy today for a church to become invisible than ever before. You see, we become invisible to the lost world as well as to each other. You see, if we're not careful during welcome time, people in this auditorium will never get to see people in this auditorium unless you switch places. We become literally invisible to each other. We're a member of the same church and may not even know each other's first name. And you know what's even more of a shame is for you to go up to someone and shake hands and say, we want to welcome you. Thank you for visiting our church. I've been a member here a year. Now, you know what that tells me? That tells me for a year they were invisible to that individual that didn't even know they were a member. Now, how does that kind of stuff happen? Carelessness, idleness, laziness. Just don't want to, you know, we just don't want to get around and shake hands and meet people. I just want to say to you, church, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. If we're not careful, we'll relegate our lives to be nothing but takers rather than givers. We get comfortable, and you look around and say, hey, church is doing pretty good. Got a little money in the bank. Hey, we're running buses. Things going well. Hey, folks, there's an entire world that's dying and going to hell, and we haven't even begun to touch the hem of the garment. 8 million, working on 8 million in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You know, it probably, they say in the next 10 years that Arlington's probably going to clip over 500,000 people, and there ain't even no city here. We're just basically this community on steroids. We're going to have 500,000 people within the borders of this city, they say, within the next 10 years. But here's some lethal injection. All right, everybody know what a lethal injection is? What they do, they did that guy the other day down in Huntsville. This is what will put a church out of commission. I want you to jot this down, then I want to tell you how we're going to avoid it. Okay? First of all, here's a lethal injection for a church to become invisible. Number one is when that church loses its love for Jesus Christ and respect for His church. I said when a membership loses their love for Jesus Christ and the respect for His church. And I'm talking about not only respect for just attendance and being here, I'm talking about respect for the things of God, the property of God. I'm talking about, listen, you say, preacher, you're beating an old dead horse. I understand it, but I see it all the time. I just don't understand, folks, why are we bringing food and drinks in the church, spilling it on the carpet, not cleaning it up? Now, if you wouldn't, listen, if I came into your house with a Coke and I spilled it on the floor and I picked it up and just, you know, you're not looking, I just... Come on now. You know what I'm saying? You know what you'd say? Well, preacher, you're not going to clean that up? Well, I did. I used my foot. You know what? That is the height of disrespect to you and your property. Why would we do the house of God like that? I'm just saying that that's a lethal injection. The loss of the love for Jesus Christ and respect for His church. Number two, is the loss of concern for personal responsibility. Listen now, and the performance of that committed responsibility. Now folks, why, if a person had a responsibility and they could not fulfill that responsibility, why would they not get someone to make sure that that responsibility was taken care of? I'll tell you why. Carelessness, laziness, those types of things, folks, if they creep into our church, and they're trying to real hard, if they creep into our church, you listen to me, the next step, we're going to become invisible. And we're going to be like every other mediocre church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You know what? That's not my goal. That's not my goal. And so I don't want to lose my love for Christ and respect for the things of God, and I certainly don't want to lose concern for my personal responsibility. Hey, folks, listen to me. That responsibility that you're committed to, you're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for Trinity Baptist. You're doing it for Jesus Christ. That's who we're serving. Listen, when I'm teaching that Sunday school class, I'm teaching them because if Jesus could be here, He'd teach them, but He's not, so He told you to. And the same thing in the bus ministry, same thing in the juvenile ministry. Why would people sign up to make brownies and cookies for the juvenile ministry and not do it? Amen, preacher. Come on now. And the people get here and they're ready for the 2-liter drinks and deal, and they go down and they call and say, preacher, so-and-so's on, that they didn't bring them. And they go, well, I forgot. Well, get your list and look at it and find out. You say, what is that, preacher? That's called loss of concern for personal responsibility. Now, we can, listen, folks, we can say, listen, I might buy, well, preacher, I forgot once. But come on now, if you forget three or four times, amen. I can hear the church mice crawling right now. It's so quiet. I said, you know what this is? I said, listen, folks, if we allow this to come in and creep into us, we're going to become invisible. Number three, the loss of compassion for lost souls. I said the loss of and compassion, or the loss of compassion for lost souls. Now, folks, we can sit here all day long and say that we love souls and that we want to see people saved. And by the way, God wants them to be saved. But you know what? He's not going to descend of heaven and save anybody. He's not going to go door to door himself. And so you know what? He's going to have to use us to do it. That's the reason. Listen, I ought to have to refill that track rack five times a week because people are pulling tracks out of there, giving them out. I'm just saying to you folks, these are lethal injections into the system of a local church. And the combination of any of these, you know what it'll do? It'll put us out of commission. And we will literally become invisible. Now folks, listen, I don't believe in the invisible church spiritually, and I certainly don't believe in invisible church physically either. You say, well, preacher, are we becoming invisible? Well, I tell you what, won't you show up tomorrow night, Thursday night, and you tell me. Come on now. Why don't you come Saturday morning to the bus meeting when bus workers signed a form saying they would be here and find out if they're committed or not? Come on up here Saturday morning, go to the Martyria meeting or the Fisherman's Club meeting, and let's find out how many men show up there, and let's find out if we're becoming invisible or not. Come on now. Amen, preacher. I told my wife to have the car running. But folks, I'm telling you, if we keep this nonsense up, we're going to become invisible. And yet Trinity Baptist Church has had a testimony for years about being one of the most visible churches in all of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I don't intend for us to become invisible. Now, with that said, let me give you some things. I got to do this real quick, so just jot them down, okay? How does a church rebound? Okay, how does a church keep from becoming invisible in their community? Well, first of all, take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 29. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 18. You'll recognize it. Where there is no vision, what happens? They become invisible. Because you know, when you perish, listen, help me out now. When you perish, it means you go out of sight, right? That means nobody can see you. And he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So how is Trinity about? How are we going to rebound? How are we going to keep from becoming an invisible church? Well, first of all, there's going to have to be visualization. We're going to have to visualize exactly what God would have us do. And I don't mean visualize world peace. Okay? Because that ain't happening. You said, preacher, what do you want us to visualize? How about let's get visualize and find out what God wants us to do and set some goals and do them. You say, preacher, what are some of our visual goals for our church? Well, first of all, I'd love to see us start some new churches. Amen. Hey, the hope of America is starting churches and restoring churches that are almost out of commission. And in order to do that, we're going to have young men called to preach the gospel. And so I want to see young men called to preach. I want to see families surrendering their lives to serve God. I'd love to see us start some new churches or restore some churches. Number two, I'd love to see us somewhere down in the near future build some type of multi-purpose facility. We need one for our Christian school. We need one for our college. We need one for some of y'all so you can come play. Because remember the script, you want to be scriptural, because remember the Corinthians we learned last Wednesday night, they ate, they drank, and they rose up to play. So we want to be scriptural about it, right? But hey, I'd love to see us build a multi-purpose facility. Why? So that we can build more people for Christ and start more Sunday school classes? Hey, the thing about it is, you know something else we need to do? We need to remodel some of our bathrooms and totally renovate our nursery area. But you know what all this is going to take? Folks, it's going to take people with vision. Hey, I'd like to eventually start some new bus routes, but we're not going to start them until we have people ready to run them. Now, I just pray, hey, listen, I'm going to really go out on a limb here, all right? I'm going to really give you an extended visualization. I've been praying for a number of years that God just go ahead and give us this building right across the street here and the property with it. Now, my wife's already got plans. She's already drawn up plans how we can build a skywalk, you know, connecting the church and the parking lot. She's already got that visualized. She said, we don't want people, it just scares me to see people crossing the street. We need to get us a skywalk and do that. I said, well, next thing you want us to do, you're going to want us to get a ski lift too and just ride a ski lift over there. Hey, I'm just saying, how are we going to keep from becoming invisible? There's going to have to be, number one, visualization. We're going to have to get a vision, folks. A vision for the future. Number two, I said, first of all, there's going to need to be visualization. Number two, there's going to need to be organization. Now, don't turn there. 1 Corinthians 14:10. Remember Paul correcting the church here at Corinth. But he makes a statement. I think we can make an application here. He said that all things be done decently and in order. There's going to need to be organization. You say, like what, preacher? What are we talking about as far as organization? How about, first of all, submission to ministry policies? Say, oh, that was a nerve. I said submitting to ministry policies. Do you know there are certain policies that we have to have around here when we're dealing with certain situations? And I'm just going to tell you, folks, you know what? It's just going to be a matter of time till somebody decides that they don't want to follow ministry policies and you're going to almost put us out of business. And here's what happens. They come after the church while you walk and go join another church. But you know how that's going to happen? When someone decides they're not going to follow policy. And listen, we can be put out of commission and become absolutely invisible by not submitting to ministry policies. Number two, subjection to church procedures. Do you know there's a certain way that we go about doing things? And we try to be decently and in order when we do them. One of the procedures is Sunday school teachers. You need to be here on time and start Sunday school, and you need to be here before your students need to be here. You ought to be there, ready to go, set on time before they ever get here so that you can greet them. Listen, we have Sunday school teachers that show up between 8 and 8:30 in the morning. Sunday school don't start till 9:30. We also have some that get here at 8 or 9:28. And the reason I know that is because some of the kids tell you. Amen, preacher. I said there needs to be organization. I said there needs to be visualization. You know, there are certain duties that come with responsibility. And those of us in places of responsibility and leadership, listen, if we don't follow the policies and procedures and the polity or the government or those things that run the position, if we're not careful, it's going to cause our church to become invisible. So I said, first of all, how do we keep from becoming an invisible church? First of all, visualization. Second of all, organization. Number three, communication. We need to communicate. Now, folks, listen. I want you to look around at all the things. See all this? See this flower arrangement? That don't belong to anybody. That's Jesus' flower arrangement. There's nothing that on this property that belongs to any one individual unless you left it here. But you need to come get it. Okay? Because if not, somebody else is going to get it. But what I'm saying is nothing on this property belongs to any one individual. This all belongs to the Lord. And so, you know what? Hey, I'm going to have to go back here. Listen, my dad didn't get saved till he was 60 years old. And listen, he had more common sense as a lost man than some of us do as saved people. Here was one of the things that he taught me as a little kid. You break it, you fix it. And you know how I learned that? I borrowed an axe one time from the next door neighbor. And if you don't know how to use an axe, which I didn't particularly know how to use at that time, you can actually miss what you're swinging at and hit the handle. And I did that, and I mean snap the head right off of that. So here I was as a boy. I went in, I told my dad, I said, look, Dad, I broke the neighbor's axe. He said, no, you didn't. I said, yeah, I broke the neighbor's axe. He said, no, you didn't, son. I said, well, what did I do? He said, you just broke your axe because you just bought it. Now, listen to me. I didn't have the money to buy another one. He bought another one, but I promise you, he got it out of my hide. And I don't mean a whooping hide. I mean, he worked me. I went down to the store. Man, I tell you one thing, I stacked boxes and cleaned and swept and everything. But you know what? There was a principle there. It's called communication. And so we've got to communicate. Hey, we need to care about our responsibility. And listen, we need to keep in contact with leadership constantly. Hey, you know what, folks? We can't read each other's minds. We've got to let each other know what's going on. We need to be concerned about ministry issues. And by the way, we need to get over being afraid to report something when we break it. If we break it, hey, find leadership. Let them know, hey, look, I broke this. What do I need to do? How do I need to make this right? You'd be amazed at what we can do to work together to get it fixed. Amen. Quickly. Run out of time. Number four, participation. I said, if we're going to rebound and not become a church that's invisible, there's going to have to be visualization, there's going to have to be organization, communication, then there's going to have to be participation. Teachers, bus workers, martyria ladies, fisherman club ladies, men in prayer meetings, teenagers, attend your appropriate meetings. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Hey, do you know something? Listen to me now. Do you know there's people that are serving years and years in prison because they weren't where they were supposed to be when they were supposed to be there? And listen to me, they were guilty by association. We go to Huntsville quite often. So, boy, and the guys that go will know who I'm talking about. There's a young man, he's probably upper middle, or maybe middle 20s, maybe upper 20s. He plays the piano down there. Preacher's son. But you know what he told me? He came to him, his dad pastors in Killeen. And he told me, he came to me and he said, preacher, he said, you know why I'm here? I said, no, what? Why are you here? He said, because I was not where I was supposed to be when I was supposed to be there. He said, my dad told me I was supposed to be here. I decided to go somewhere else. He said, I had no idea. I was out with my friends. He said, I'm back there getting something to drink while they're up front robbing the convenience store. He had no idea. Guilty by association. Didn't do anything. Had no idea what was going on. But he was associated. You see, what I'm saying to you, church, is participation. We need to be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. We ought to be willing to give toward ministry outreach. And then find a place so that you can begin to give out. And not be a taker, but a giver. Visualization, organization, communication, participation. Let me give you one last one. And folks, this is so very important. This is what I was harping on a while ago. Evangelization. Evangelization. Folks, I don't care where you go. You go to most Baptist churches in this city, and most Baptist churches in this city know exactly who Trinity Baptist Church is. They do. Matter of fact, we've had other Baptist churches send people here to be saved. They said, oh, you need to go up there to Trinity Baptist Church. Come on. Had a man come and join our church years ago. He's with the Lord today. And I asked him, I said, why did you come join our church? He said, because you preached only out of the King James Bible. And I said, well, how'd you find out about that? He called the name of the other Baptist church in the city. And he said, I'm looking for a church that preaches only out of the King James Bible. And listen to me, the associate pastor told him, said, well, you're not going to like it here. You need to go up there to Trinity Baptist Church. I'm telling you. That's the reason he came here. Because they told him, so, well, we don't preach out of the King James, so you need to go to Trinity Baptist. Hey, they knew who we were. Why? Evangelization. Hey, we need to be back soul winning weekly, folks. There needs to be track evangelism. Listen, we got door hangers. Listen, if you don't want to do anything else, grab you some door hangers and go put them on doors somewhere. So, old preacher, I'm afraid to talk to somebody. Then grab you some tracks and go put them on windshield wipers at 2 o'clock in the morning. So who? You don't think anybody will get after me? Just their pit bull. All I'm saying to you, church, you know how we're going to keep from becoming invisible? Visualization. Organization. Communication. Then we've got to participate. And then there's got to be evangelization. Folks, I'm disturbed. I'm disturbed at how many people that are sitting under the sound of my voice tonight that once used to be an incredible soul winner that has not won a person to Christ, had anybody down the aisle in years. That's disturbing. Can I tell you something? You're going to help us become invisible. And folks, listen. Whether we're going to keep the doors open, we're going soul winning, whether it's just me and the staff going, because you can't be employed here if you don't go soul winning. Amen. And may I say, Sunday school teachers, you ought to be soul winning as well. Bus workers, you ought to be soul winning as well. Church assembly, we all ought to be doing something to tell people about Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm telling you, if we don't, we're going to become invisible. If we don't get on the ball, we cannot let these things creep into our church. I want you to bow your heads with me tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, tonight I know I'm saved. No question about it, I'm born again. If Jesus came back tonight, heaven's my home. Step in way up.